Welcome to the Westside Church Q&R podcast, where we take questions from you and we do our best to respond in a way that is biblically faithful, helpful, and practical. I'm Erin, and I'm with Pastor Matt. Matt, welcome.
Thank you.
What is...
I have a question for you.
No, I'm asking the question too.
I have a question for you. My question is, how is life without Cliff? Because he's gone. He is in India right now.
Yeah.
He'll be traveling all over the place for a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you doing? Like, how is things without Cliff? How are things without Cliff?
Well, yesterday...
Are you hanging in? Are you surviving?
Yeah.
You and Jesse?
We're doing great. We're doing great.
Well, I don't believe that.
Yesterday morning, he was texting me for something at like 3 a.m. And Levi, when he woke up, wrote, "Dude, let your wife sleep."
Yeah. Well, the time change is a real thing.
I know.
From India to here?
It was 12 and a half and now it's 13 and a half.
You're just perfectly misaligned.
I know.
Perfectly. It's a perfect misalignment.
Unless he wakes up and I'm going to bed or vice versa.
You have to do it one of those places. He's about to go to bed or you're just waking up. That's the only way to do it.
Yeah, but we're doing great. It's been a very busy week, actually. Like
It has been busy.
I hardly notice.
That's not true.
Okay.
Well, we miss Cliff.
We miss him.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to start with our most recent questions. So starting with the sermon today.
Okay.
And we did get a few of them. But I'm going to set it up first. So you use the word sickness in reference to Israel's preference to their former chains of slavery over the presence of God. And then you said to us that we've been infected with this same sickness. And that in Romans 3, none of us is righteous and that we turn away to worship images. Even after Jesus came, we've turned back to Egypt in our hearts, or we've turned back to sin, formed our own images. Are you remembering your sermon?
Yeah,
now?
I remember.
Okay. And then you said Egypt.
It was a really fun gathering. I really enjoyed the day with the church today.
Yeah, it was.
But keep going.
It was great.
Okay.
And then you said Egypt had something like 500 plus literal gods. So for us in our context, I want to ask you, I don't know if you're going to like this question, what do you see our gods as being? And what are our hearts turning to? I would like to start off with that question.
Yeah, I mean, so we've talked about this a little bit before.
Mm-hmm.
I think our gods are anything that take priority over and above loving God with our hearts, our soul, our mind, and our strength.
Okay.
I think our gods seem totally benign, as they would have in an openly polytheistic culture like ancient Egypt or ancient Greece or whatever. Like, the gods were not like a big deal. Like they were a big deal, but they weren't a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like here, because everyone had them, and everyone had their household gods, and everyone had their different idols and. And I think we're actually very similar today. We just don't use that language.
Right.
We just don't use the language. And so I think this the thing we're trying to get at and the thing we want people to understand, because it's a biblical perspective on humanity, is that we do have gods. We are all worshipers. And we are all worshiping at altars every single day.
Yeah.
We're all directing like are the focus of our life and our priorities towards something. And that thing is becoming an ultimate thing in that moment. And as Christians, we're meant to only have one ultimate thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mentioned, I think in the second service, someone came up to me after the first service and said, it was just broken, super broken. And I feel this, I know what my kind of idols are and I just can't live this way. And I'm like, that to me is the most exciting thing, because that realization, like Jesus always gave law to the proud and he gave grace to the humble.
Right.
Right. And what, so when that person comes up with that kind of feeling of, I can't do this. What
totally.
Do I do? Woe is me.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Absolutely.
Because this is where the gospel rushes in. This is where Jesus takes over. This is where you just go, I can't do it. Here I am. Like, I just want to love you, like help me. And that's where the gospel rushes in. But the problem is that in the church, we forget that and we become, desensitized to the fact that we are actually worshiping all the time. And that when we have Jesus in a little box over here, our spiritual life in a little box over here, we have to be called out of that. We have to understand the life in the Holy Spirit is something entirely different than having Jesus as one among many gods.
Yeah.
So it's not even the word priority is not even strong enough, because even if you had Jesus as your top priority, but you have 10 other priorities, it's like, no, actually, we're meant to die to life apart from Jesus, and that he is our life. Mm-hmm. So it's like we only have one priority. Mm-hmm. And then everything else flows out of that. But I mean, we're all on this journey, right? Like, I think part of the problem we have too is Western, urban, postmodern Christians is we also want to figure it out, and we want to solve the math equation of life with God, and we want to solve. So you hear a preacher say something like that, and you're like, well, how do I solve for this? Mm-hmm. How do I solve for X? How do I make sure that I can feel good about how I am, as opposed to realizing these are relational dynamics that we're talking about that we are going to be growing in for the rest of our life.
For sure.
So I'd say our idols are everywhere, Aaron, but they're like you've talked about before on this podcast, like it's a disordered love thing. It's like anything that helps encourage a disordered love relationship with
so it
the
can
creator.
Be people, places, and things, anywhere we find them. But I think sometimes we turn our brains off when we read stuff about idols because we think, well, I don't have little statues in my home.
Right. Some of us do.
You're right.
But most of us don't. Yes.
Right.
I just don't want to exclude the people that actually do, especially if a lot of people that come into our country from other countries. Mm-hmm. That's still a normal thing. Household gods are still a thing. But yes, I hear you.
Yeah.
Most of us don't have idols.
So I think sometimes the language makes it hard for people to think, well, I have all these great things in my life and I love Jesus and the ordering of loves is a good.
And I recognize too, when you come into a sermon like that and you hear it, it's like you do just want to resolve the tension.
Sure.
I'm doing good things in my life. I'm not actually pursuing evil, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to love Jesus. So how about let me off the hook here and just kind of like, but it's just relationship with the living God is just not like that. He's just not like, he's not content to be like a buddy who we talk to every once in a while. And like, he's just part of our life. He actually wants to be our entire life, like our living, breathing, every waking moment, every sleeping moment, like he wants to be everything to us. And that's what we see Jesus was like. So if you want a good picture of not having any idols, you look at Jesus.
Right.
Jesus' whole life was just one thing. All he did was obey what the Father said, obey what the Father told him to do.
Yeah.
That's the only thing he did. Mm-hmm. And now you might say that's impractical in our day and age. And it's sort of like, well, maybe it is impractical. But maybe Jesus' people have always looked strange in every culture they've ever been in. And I mean, I just want to love Jesus more with all my heart.
Yeah.
And I just want to call the church to love Jesus more with all of our hearts. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just also want to leave the work of exactly what that looks like in your specific context. Yeah. I want to leave it to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And if you have a clear conscience and you're worshiping Jesus and you're growing to love him more and more, and you're bearing the fruit of the Spirit, praise God.
Yeah.
Good.
So the next question, how can I identify idols in my life? Part of that is you just addressed that. Also, at the end of the gatherings today, you were asking us to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show us those things in our lives.
That's good. I would really want to camp there.
Yeah.
I mean, the first part of this conversation is, okay, that's the practical side.
Yeah.
Disordered love stuff. But I would not want to discount praying and asking the Spirit, show me.
Yeah.
What do I have? Where am I like pursuing something you wouldn't have me pursue? Where do I have any idols? Do I have any idolatry?
Yeah.
The answer is going to probably be yes, but like, where is it? Show me. And you might be surprised.
Yeah.
And I would actually get a pen and get a journal.
Yeah, for sure.
And write down the things that come to mind and just test them. And like, take them to godly people you know and go like, hey, I feel like maybe the Lord is impressing these things on me. And it might not be things you need to get rid of altogether. It might be. But it might also be things that you just need to lessen their importance in your life, or you need to, because it's like it is true that a lot of things that are not inherently good or evil, they're just neutral things, can become those idols in our lives, right? They don't have to be explicitly bad, mm-hmm. or morally, like crossing a moral line. Mm-hmm. It can be like, you know what? You're way too addicted to the NFL. You just are.
Yeah.
Or you know what? Your kids are in way too many things. Mm. Why are you working so hard to try to give your kids a certain life?
Yeah.
I think children can be a major one. Totally. Obviously career, obviously there could be anything. It could be really benign things. It mm-hmm. could be lots of stuff. But I think just making space to ask that question on a regular basis of the Holy Spirit, go, is there anything you want to talk about? Is there anything you'd kind of change in my life? And then pay attention to what he says. I would say that is a really good place to start.
Today, Elder Brian Yao and myself did some baptism prayer sessions with four individuals.
Cool.
And it's very interesting that all of them are new believers. Mm-hmm. This is something that the Spirit has just been showing them. Mm-hmm. And they're exactly what you described with that individual at the end of the gathering. Mm-hmm. And then 9 a.m. just like, okay. And all this, got it.
Yeah.
Heard you loud and clear.
Yeah.
And their response is, I got to get baptized.
Yeah.
And we're doing renouncing prayer and we're doing all this amazing stuff. And it's beautiful.
I love that. Because it's just like, so what do you do then? You just take the next step of obedience.
Yeah.
Just ask the Spirit, hey, show me anything. What's one step of obedience in front of me? For some people, it's baptism. Mm-hmm. Like, that's amazing. And and I just really do feel that these are like sparks in the body.
Yeah.
And they just keep going. They just keep multiplying. The Spirit is convicting people.
Yeah. And so it's not some big, it's going to take me ages. If we're actually asking the Holy Spirit to reveal sin or idolatry in our life, He's going to show us.
Right. And it's not just confession, it's repentance, right? Not just telling the truth about it.
Yeah.
It's turning. And turning implies not just turning from, but turning to.
Yeah.
Not just putting off, but putting on.
Yeah.
So we are to like put on that obedient lifestyle.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, if it's not this, Lord, if you want me to lessen the importance of this, what do you want me to fill that with?
Yes.
And then
that's
fill that
really
with something
important
that you know He would want. And then all of a sudden now you're in a relationship where it's like, oh my goodness, He says, do less of this, do more of this. And you're like, okay, I'll do that. And then it's like, you're going to learn how good He is. As you follow Him like that, you're going to learn how He loves to lead.
Yeah.
He wants to lead.
Yes.
And so it's like, we got to let Him lead.
Yeah.
That's, I guess, what we're saying.
Yeah, that's very good. Okay, on the idea of good things that become idolatrous, I have a couple questions about this. Number one is if your calling becomes an idol, like that pursuing the thing that God has called you to, how do you know if it's become idolatrous? And then specifically, or more generally, I should say, would be, when good things become idolatrous, do we deal with them the same way we do when evil things become idolatrous? Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
So I'd say to if you want to recognize, like, has this thing become an idol in my life? I think you need to begin, first of all, with, is my life healthy? Like, is my life with Jesus healthy?
Mm-hmm.
Are you living the normal Christian life? Are you living a basic life of discipleship?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you got to start there. Because if you're not, then the answer to everything is yes. Everything's kind of out of place. Everything's kind of messed up and broken.
Okay.
And you need to start with discipleship. And you need to start with, like, you know, you're in the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the Word. You're spending time with Jesus. Like, you're actually asking Him to search you. You're striving after obedience, all those kind of things. So assuming we have a person that's living a basic life of discipleship.
Yeah.
You know, they're surrendering, waiting, killing sin, pursuing the promptings of God's voice. Assuming that, then I think it's a matter of, like, your conscience. It's a matter of the conscience plays a really important role. When we're not, when as God's people, we're not walking with Him in obedience, our consciences actually become seared, which means they become numb and ineffective to tell us, like, hey, wrong direction. Hey, you shouldn't be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're living a life of basic discipleship, your conscience is sensitive and it's active and alive, and you need to pay attention to it. And if you're kind of going, like, and that's that place of communion within you with you in the Spirit, where it's like, when you go to Him and go, like, what do you think about this?
Mm-hmm.
And you just pay attention. What do you think He thinks about it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really is that simple.
Yeah.
It really is so simple. A child can do it.
Mm-hmm.
That when you go, like, what do you think He thinks about it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that He likes your work-life balance? Do you think He loves what you're doing? Has he called you where you mm-hmm. are? Some people are going to go, yes. Mm-hmm. I feel like this has been all him. And mm-hmm. some people are going to go, I've never asked him. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So then you start asking him.
Yeah.
I think it's just a relational thing. I think you have to begin. So to the second part of that question, yeah. if something is morally evil, like we're crossing a basic, you know, boundary
yeah.
of good and evil, and we know it. Mm-hmm. Like that thing is just, there's no question. You don't have to ask.
Right.
You already know.
Yeah.
Because you just, your conscience already convicts you. You already know. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the things where it's like, it's not necessarily good or evil. It's just like, does God want me here or not?
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing. He delights in you coming to him yeah. and just asking mm-hmm. and just figuring it out and just spending time with him enough to go like, you should be able to say to yourself, I'm called to this. Like, I know the Lord has yeah. me here right now. Even if you haven't, there's never been a lightning bolt from the sky that, you know, wrote yeah. your calling on a signboard somewhere. It's still like, no, this is where he has me.
Yeah.
And my conscience is totally clear. And I'm walking in my integrity. Jesus is first in my life. And so like I'm living a life of discipleship, and my work is not a hindrance to that.
Yeah.
Great. Like that's mm-hmm. amazing. Like I yeah. think that's probably going to be most people.
Yeah.
But if for any reason you're asking that question, you're going like, something feels off. Like mm-hmm. I just feel like something's off. Like maybe the Lord wants, I mean, we're seeing this right now. People selling homes, people, mm-hmm. you know, who do leave jobs because they just, something feels off.
Yeah.
In order to give God the time and space he mm-hmm. needs to kind of ask and answer those questions, mm-hmm. you actually need to step away from something. That happens too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the majority of the time though.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, Aaron? What do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm specifically thinking about, you know, we feel called. You often will talk, or we talk a lot about our need to release control to the Lord. And
yes.
I think sometimes if we have a thought like, oh, God's stirring me up for something mm-hmm. or a calling, we think everything needs to change.
Yeah.
But that calling is just part of our regular discipleship. Like trusting God often means a lot of waiting.
Yeah.
And a lot of reminding yourself that he's in control, that we don't now take it over. It's like, oh, great, you gave me a calling.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to run ahead. And
right.
there's actually a question about running ahead with Moses running ahead, and we'll get to that. But I'm thinking in this particular situation, that process of waiting on the Lord,
yes.
it takes time. And then it's being affirmed, it's being confirmed
yeah.
by other people. It's part of the discernment process.
Yep.
And
that's all part of it. I mean, and even for me and Missy, I've shared this story, right? But it's like when we felt that stirring, I'm a carpenter by trade. I was working in another field at the time, but life was fine. Like there was nothing morally wrong with our lives, but we started mm-hmm. to sense like, is there something the Lord wants? So we got down on our knees
yeah.
together and we just prayed, God, if there's anything here, you change it. We specifically said, we're not going to do anything about this.
Yeah.
Cause we don't know.
Yes.
So we're not going
right.
to, we're not going to run into anything, but if you want to change anything, you change anything.
Yes.
You can have everything.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 weeks later, our life was flipped on its head.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. And mm-hmm. like, we knew it was him cause we had just asked him and mm-hmm. he just flipped it. So now it's like, okay, it's a yes from us or whatever we're doing.
Yes.
And so I agree with you. I think that it's like, but also he could have left us doing exactly what we were doing and we were being very faithful.
Yeah.
And he was still first. Like
yeah.
We didn't need that switch to love him, follow him, walk
yeah.
with him. He could have left us doing that. That would have been fine, but he had a plan. And so this is about releasing control and living out the truth mm-hmm. that we are not in the driver's seat of our lives.
Right.
It's like, so if your career, like if you have a 5 year, 10 year, 15 year, 25 year plan,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, and no one, nothing's going to, you know, you're going to make you deviate from that.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, you can't do that as a Christian.
Right.
Because scripture even says, you know, don't say I'm going to go to such and such a city and make
yep.
such and such a profit. Say instead, if the Lord wills.
Right.
So that whole if the Lord wills thing mm-hmm. is how you know if it's an idol or not. Like make your plan.
Mm-hmm.
But the plan is contingent on if the Lord wills.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he changes our course, he could take anything. He could do mm-hmm. anything. Now we're learning. Okay. Yeah. We're going to move. We're going to keep mm-hmm. going. We want to be productive members of society.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord is in the driver's seat, not us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we do see a lot of people coming in. They're like, I'm trusting. And I'm like, tell me what that looks like.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like obedience.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like trusting God, saying, I trust you, Lord, but then doing everything with mm-hmm. our own hands and
yeah.
then going, why aren't you giving me this thing
right.
that I'm praying for
yes.
or these dreams that you told yes. me you're going to fulfill in my life? So the trusting and obedience and waiting and like all part of just
one other thing to that too, Aaron. I would say that what you just said is really key, because one of the big ways to test, is he actually in the driver's seat or am I, is when prayer shifts from, instead of, God, here's all my concerns, here's all the things, like, yes, we release all our cares to him, all our burdens to him, but we actually start to be more interested in like, hey, what are your concerns, Lord? What are you doing? It's like now that shifts the whole conversation. What are you up to? And actually, we know what he's up to in the world. But it's like, but what are you up to specifically in this city? What are you up to in my workplace? What are you up to in my school? What are you? And it's like, and like, hey, would you talk to me about that? Would you tell? That's the kind of relationship. Like, I mean, that's what, again, what Jesus had, right? Like, I only do what I see the Father do, say what I hear him say. So it's like, it changes from our concerns to his concerns. His concerns become more important when he's in control.
Okay, very good. Very exciting. Well, church, we've come to the end of this week's podcast. Thanks so much for joining in to this conversation. Please keep sending in your questions and we will keep responding. Have a great week. We will see you soon.